We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of one Joe Madden describing and explaining what went awry with the start for Wonyu Darvish having some cramps, and they just wanted to get him out of there. They didn't want to risk his health, and it was more about him. Although it seemed like maybe, I don't know, it was, you know, here's the thing. Joe's covering for whatever it was. Not that he needed to, but, oh, it was my idea. I decided. We don't know that Darvish didn't say, like, you know, I'm done. That's it. My leg hurts. Or, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know. I'm having a cramp. I'm not feeling it because Joe's covering for him. And they're coddling this guy, you know, clearly the fact that he came off the DL. I'm with you, though. He did look like he had been ill.
Right.
He didn't look
and
great.
You know, the fact that Joe explains it there, unless they really thought out this conspiracy where, okay, we now I have to go out to Jim Wolf and tell him that Montgomery, we got him up late, so he needs more time to warm up. I mean, I'm that just didn't. They didn't think he was coming out when he was coming out. But Joe decided to do that. Montgomery did need to have more warm up tosses, so that would lend me to believe that if he had an issue, which he does, that Joe made the determination. I'm going to take him at his word that
I hear you, and I'm not saying that he's lying. I'm just saying if you wanted to look at it from a conspiracy standpoint, you could certainly look at it that way.
Look at the text we're getting with suggesting what kind of cramping it was. I mean,
well,
some Cub fans are not going to give this guy an inch.
Which is why he didn't start on Monday.
Yeah.
Right? That's why he was pushed back to Tuesday.
Although, again, Gordon Whitmire reporting that Darvish on Sunday told Japanese media, again, you know, talking in his native language, he apparently gives them more information than he does when he meets with the rest of the media covering the Cubs through the interpreter, saying, I'm not 100%, don't know if I'll be 100% by Tuesday. So now maybe the bigger question is, if he wasn't 100%, why did you even give him the ball to start? Why didn't you go with Montgomery to begin with?
Well, I think you'd look pretty bad if you suddenly...
Did he look any worse today? He was four innings. I'll take those four innings times two.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was good enough.
No,
right?
He was really good when he was in. And again, if Montgomery comes in, they had what did they have? First and third with nobody out.
Yep.
And you throw a guy out at the plate, right? And then another play, you have another play, and you throw a guy out at third base. Was that a wild pitch? Is that why how he got thrown out? No, it was Wellington Guest.
Contreras tried to get him. He throws the ball to second to catch him stealing, and next thing you know, you got
The ball is
hits Freddie Freeman, and he comes barreling around third and tries to score, and Schwarber gets the ball and throws it, and I mean the ball, the glove, and the foot all meet at the same point. It looked like he missed his leg,
and it looked like he was safe. But in the bang bang nature of it, it was hard to, and it was, I think they even said it on the broadcast, like, you know, thank God they called him out,
right? Because
there wasn't enough visual evidence, but it looked like if you had called him safe, then he would have been safe. It just was a weird...
Contreras sold it. I mean...
Contreras totally sold it.
Right to
no
the
question.
Dugout. Although Almora was kind of looking in like, oh, we're going to the dugout? Okay. I mean, it's almost like he could see that he missed the tag from where he was at.
But I think that, you know, again, if they score some runs, then you look like fools. If they if it didn't work out, but it worked out. You won the game, and that's all that matters. And you got through... A Darvish start, maybe not the start you wanted in terms of the length of the start, and it's another one where you look at it and you'll say, well, he didn't, you know, what's he doing that he's not staying in games longer, and why can't he get through a fifth inning? You didn't solve that, but I thought he had a really good start. I thought he was pitching well.
And even,
I thought the ball was moving well. I thought he looked good. It's just a pity he couldn't go. He couldn't get the results.
See, and here's the thing. Darvish is a basket case. Texter says, how many more years of this until he gets a string of three starts? One start's not going to remove the questions,
yeah.
Right? If he next start, he takes the ball in the regular rotation and he gets to the sixth or seventh inning and looks pretty good doing it.
And he was pitching well enough that something had to go awry.
I mean, right now,
they weren't trying to get him out of the fifth.
Right now, the narrative is such that you need a dominant stretch of three starts or so before Cub fans, I guess, are going to feel better about the idea that you went out and chose this guy over Arrieta, certainly. And you know, I guess at the time, I think most of us thought, okay, you could understand the reasoning behind it. But when Jake ended up with 3 years and $75 million with the possibility of making $135 million, it wasn't 5 or 6 years guaranteed. It was 3 and 75, and let's see what happens after that. Or if you can hit X, Y, and Z, then the other years become guaranteed.
Yeah, it's again, I think the you can't overreact to one start with a guy. I believe that he was unwell, and that's why they put him on the DL. And I do believe that that something had to go wrong with him for them to take him out of the game, because he was pitching well enough to continue. But it was weird that he went four innings and you didn't even, you know, deal with his, you know, it's like it was almost like you were kind of like rubbing your hands together. Like, okay, here we go. Here comes that fifth inning. How's he going to get through this? Oh, he's not. And you couldn't help but kind of, wow, like, why isn't this guy out for the fifth?
Yeah.
And they even said, they talked about on the broadcast, Len and JD, the idea that, they're not babying him, but he was unwell. And, you know, they're trying to, maybe he didn't have the strength. They didn't know that he had a cramp or was cramping up. So it makes sense. It makes sense that they would not let him get in that situation. And you heard Joe explain it. And, you know, Joe always seems reasonable in his explanations. That's never a problem.
Well, he said, look, I'm a very patient guy. And, Joe's going to do it his way. And I think the play you were referring to was, and here goes the defense again, was the Baez error on the fielder's choice, right? Where Culverson?
Yes. Yeah. That ended up getting first and third, right?
Right.
I mean, then
you get a wild pitch.
Then you had a wild pitch.
To Ozzie Albies, and then Contreras gets the ball and throws him out at the plate. So he recovered from the wild pitch, and they got him at the plate. But the controversial replay was the fifth inning, right?
The fifth inning. Then then there was the third base. Then they he picked him off third. Did he pick him off third base? God Almighty! I mean, you know what? He picked him off third base. My brain.
No,
is
Freeman.
Addled.
Freeman was stealing, and the ball hit him and went out in the left field. That was in the first inning.
No. I'm talking about the fifth inning.
Okay, fifth
they had
inning.
Two thrown out players. They had a guy thrown out at the plate, and then they had a guy thrown out at third base. And those were two of the three outs in that inning.
Right.
And so Montgomery comes in the fifth, and you throw two guys out. The first one, they challenged it, and they did the replay of it. And then they held it up. And again, that's when they said it's a good thing they called him out and not safe, because it looked like the tag may have gone by his side. And when he actually hit him, his hand was already on the plate. But when they did the review, they couldn't nail that down.
That was the fifth. Yeah.
So it held up. That was the fifth I'm talking about.
That was
and
Camargo.
Then the second pickoff was at third base. And that one, he was clearly safe, but they had lost the review from the earlier pickoff, or not pickoff, the earlier play at the plate. So you had, what I'm saying is, you had two outs at home plate and third base in the fifth inning when you had replaced Darvish. And I think we'd have a completely different conversation this morning if indeed those runs had scored. Montgomery had come in and those runs had scored.
Right, because you were coddling Darvish or
exactly.
looking for a reason not to get him out in the fifth, and then you get Montgomery up.
And then
up,
you get Montgomery up, and then you give up a couple runs, and now the game's a different game, and all of a sudden, you know, we'd be sitting here this morning, regardless of what was wrong with him, he's got to be able to go five and all that. But instead, and that's what I said this morning, because that worked, everything was okay. There's no real complaint because you won the game. It all worked out. But that could have gone – both those calls went the Cubs' way, and both of those calls could have gone the other way.
Well,
and if they had, now we'd have a completely different conversation this
But
morning.
Just like the NFL, okay, what happened on the play at home? He was called out.
Yes,
so
that's what I said.
That's the whole thing in a nutshell.
Yes.
If he's called, different.
And that's what – I think it was JD said that. Thank God he was called out at the plate.
Exactly.
Had he been called safe, there's no way they would have been able to overturn that. So, you know, again, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm talking about the fifth inning when they replaced Darvish and they brought in Montgomery.
Right.
312-644-6767. It's Molly and Haley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah, or not. That was the fifth inning last night, and that was the end of Yu Darvish's night. And you heard a pretty good performance by Yu Darvish. Pretty good to see. Four innings, not quite up to snuff.
I mean,
register for a win.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because JD's scenario there, that you give him a feel good, right? Okay, the fifth inning's your bugaboo inning. Let's get you out. Yeah. When they didn't know that there was cramping in the leg, but you would have gotten criticized for that. That you now got to coddle the guy in a different way, because even when he's pitching well, you want to give him the feel good and make sure that he doesn't leave after the fifth inning blows up on him. And yet there's cramping and people don't want to believe it's cramping, or because there is cramping and he couldn't go out there for the fifth inning. Now he's soft again. And boy, what did you have here when you signed a $126 million pitcher?
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. And Tony's in the South Loop. Morning, Tony. How are you?
Hey, doing well, guys. Thanks very much for having me on the show. You guys do a great job. So first off, I'd like to talk about, you know, last night's win. I think it's more than safe to say that the Cubs stole one. You know, regarding those plays at the plate.
Unbelievable.
The first guy who's called out, like you said, if he was called safe, you know, Cubs would have challenged and probably would have lost that one. But it was also fortunate that the play at third base, he was called out, because then they lost their challenge. He was safe there, too.
Yeah, so. He was safe. I mean, they had just used the challenge on the play at the plate, and then you got, you know, the play at third base where the guy was clearly safe. And the umpire, in fairness to him, is standing right behind the bag. I mean, he's blocked from seeing where that tag went down, calls him out, and as you say, there is no challenge. They showed the replay, and they even said, like, thank God there's no challenge. Because that probably would have been a run there. So there were two runs that were kind of lost in the fifth inning, and it ended up being a wondrous and beautiful thing for them, because the fifth inning has been the bugaboo and the Yu Darvish starts, usually because Yu melts down. But instead, the referees doubled down and gave you two outs via the tag out.
And that inning also has the Baez error on the fielder's choice, or a possible double play ball. But certainly you're going to get the force, and it's just another game where your defense just has one hiccup, and that can turn into a huge inning if the replays don't go your way, or you don't have the challenge. You know, Atlanta doesn't have the challenge. You got to start fielding the ball better, especially a guy like Baez.
That was terrible. That was just a bad play. Gosh, that was awful. He's going for the double play, but there, and man, that thing sailed. Tyler Chatwood throws tonight. We asked yesterday what you need to see from Yu Darvish, and I don't know if you got enough of what you wanted to see. You certainly got a good performance, but it was a four-inning performance, so that kind of puts your team in a hole. And we said that he needed to go deep into the game, because you're in the midst of all these games and you can't afford to get to the bullpen early. Now, Mike Montgomery might be a little different situation, because he's obviously looking to start one of those games on Saturday. Now you look at Tyler Chatwood. His problem has been walking people. He's been going crazy walking people. You look at this starting rotation, and coming into the season, there was this feeling that, boy, this is going to be great. This is going to be one of the best collection of starters they've ever had. And instead, you've got Tyler Chatwood is the fifth guy, 7.65 walks per nine innings.
See, that's the thing.
That's not very good. That's okay, but he's one of the new guys. Darvish has got to be a stud for you, right? And Quintana, we talked about yesterday. And it's okay if Quintana is a number three, if you got two guys at the top of the rotation. So you got Lester, and you're supposed to have Yu Darvish, and Hendricks has been good, but he's been susceptible to home runs. It's almost like, you know, people are starting to hunt for the changeup with him or something. I don't know. I'd like to see the breakdown of of what they're hitting home runs on. But I think that he's been a little less than stellar. Now, you know, we talked before the season started which one most likely to win the Cy Young, and the answer is none of them now. But, you know, you'd like to have two guys functioning at a really high level going into the playoffs. That's a great way to win series, to win a World Series, which is what this exercise is all about. It does, you know, ideally, you're going to go to four, and you'd like to have four that can perform. But if you get two guys on fire, you're okay. Which of these guys are those two? Well, you know, Yu's got a long way to go to get to that point. Let's be honest about it. Before this game yesterday, we felt he had a long way to go, and now there's obviously been a setback of some sort with the illness. Is it going to be John Lester? Are you worried about him? Is it going to be Hendricks? Is he the guy? Or Q, I think you've given up on Brian, because all you do is lament the pieces traded for him.
Well, if I told you that in the last 19 games, Cubs starting staff had a 2.92 ERA and opponent's batting average of 2.19, you'd say, wow.
Did
they lose a game there?
Yes, got a long winning streak.
Well, guess what? They're 7-6, so that means six decisions were left on the table for the bullpen, and you'd have to go back and look at innings pitched. Yeah. So that you talk about
it's runs production. Right. It's been the problem with this team.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying this is supposed to be the best start. You know, the defense hasn't been there too.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, the mixed bag of results and numbers within the game and everything else. And
so the pitching's been good enough.
Well, here at Chatwood, okay, you know, the 7.6 walks is unbelievable, and yet he's sitting there with just over a three ERA. So it's like every
the
start.
Walks are a problem.
Yeah, every start he gives you six strikeouts and six walks.
Which aspect of this team are you satisfied with?
Well, that's
that's what it is.
You're 0-3.
It's collective. It's what's here. It's been extremely inconsistent. The defense inconsistent. The starting pitching.
Right.
The bullpen's been pretty good. Probably the best part of the team.
And now, you know, again, we're not only talking about whether Montgomery can go on Saturday after two innings, but. You know, what do you need from Chatwood today? Well, someone has to get to the seventh inning one of these days.
Joe,
right?
How would you line them up right now, the starters, if you were starting a playoff series this weekend?
Hendricks 1, Lester 2, pick him out of a hat.
It's just
I'd go Quintana 5, actually. I'm working backwards.
Backwards. So Quintana doesn't pitch in a series, is what you're telling me.
You asked today.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go, if you know, you pretty much need four guys, right?
You're
starting with him at five. I'm just saying that means he's out of the rotation.
I know. Well, it's easier if you start from backwards. The bullpen. How much?
I have John Lackey.
And Joe, you pointed out the other day when talking about that Quintana's velocity is down 91. Or so, you know, down to
90, I believe.
He's like two more miles per hour down. You're gonna have to become the professor again. I mean, you have to come up with a nickname because now you're not, you know, now you're in Kyle Hendricks territory.
El Professor.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it. For some reason, yesterday they brought six draftable stars to the NBA draft, and the Bulls end up picking seventh, so I don't know if any of those guys, I'm sure some of those guys are going to fall or be there. You know, do you want a Trae Young? Is that the guy you're hoping for out of that draft? Because
any guy who said, boy, they're double teaming me now, I can't do anything, and he said that 3 months before that's when his season stopped.
They're going to have a choice, though. They'll get a top 10 pick. In fact, they'll get the number 7 pick overall, and we'll talk to Casey Johnson next about how everything fell apart last night, the horror of the wasted season, the draft. No, we're going to put a positive spin on it. We're going to talk about what they can do now and how good they can get, and we'll run it by them. Is there any interest in Kawhi Leonard? Does he scare anybody off with a strong personality? Can't get along with Pop? Can he get along with Fred? Oh, boy. Is that just too far for them to go right now in terms of rebuild? And what does he expect to see coming out of this draft? How good will a player be? He's looked at the players and hopefully understands what the Bulls are staring down at number 7. And does that throw everything into disarray. We'll talk to KC next. Maureen Haley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. KC Johnson is the basketball man for the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, KC. How are you?
How are you guys doing? What's going on?
Well, it is very exciting. Thank God the Bulls won that coin flip. That's all I can say.
How about that?
They could have been picking two, huh? But you know what? I mean, I believe what John said. There's really nothing you can do about it. It's out of your control. You got to just embrace it and move on. But, man, I mean, the whole horror of that season comes down to the unlucky lottery and, unfortunately, 7 instead of 6 and 7 instead of 2 and 7.
This from the franchise that that overcame 1.7% odds to draft the youngest MVP in league history. I mean, it's a lottery. I mean, you take what you get. Whether it's good or bad, it's completely out of your control. It's completely luck. It's completely random. But sure, there's some disappointment that you drop from 6 to 7. I don't think you can focus much on the 7 to 2 thing. I mean, obviously that was painful to see, but you just, again, there's literally nothing you can do about it. So, I like John's approach. He several times said, we're going to get a player we like. We're going to get a player that fits. And look, you know, we were talking about it last night in the workroom all night long. I mean, you redraft last year's draft. Where's Laurie Marketing going? He's what, probably 3, 4 maybe? And he was picked 7th last year. So it's on them now. They got to get an impact player at 7 because that's where they're going to be drafting.
In retrospect now, KC, you know, first of all, how valuable is the 22nd pick in this draft? Because, again, you pick any draft and find a Jimmy Butler on occasion down in the tail end of the draft. But would they have been better off had Nico not gone on that roll in December and said, we're going to win tonight, and then a lot of nights he led them to a win, and he got that first-round pick for Nico that no one expected? And would you rather have had a better chance of being a top-3 team in this draft?
Well, you know, at the time, it was pretty well known that Nico didn't want to be here. And, you know, also Nico wanted to start. And John told you guys on your very airwaves that, you know, Nico's timeline in terms of his financial payout didn't align with the rebuild. So there are a lot of reasons beyond getting the first-round pick, which to me still is almost miraculous that that happened, given the lack of interest in him last February at the trade deadline and the lack of interest he had in restricted free agency last summer. So there are a lot of reasons that management was set on training Nico. And to me, the biggest one was that Nico didn't want to be here anymore.
That's my point. You didn't think you were going to get a first-round pick for him, but you did because he played well enough to do it, and there was a team that needed him. But would you have been better off if Nico was just still Nico and you didn't go on that 10-2 run?
Yeah, and I basically what you're asking is, you know, is a top-3 pick better than 7-22?
Yes.
Probably. But I'll say this. Here's where 22 is valuable. I mean, beyond the fact you can find that Jimmy Butler or Kyle Kuzma, you know, and those are rare, or Taj Gibson, you know, but those are rare. But, you know, Bobby Portis was a 22. He's a solid rotation guy. He's not a great player. He's a very, very good player, very good reserve rotation player. But here's what 22 is valuable. In this rebuild, you're going to have to pay Zach LaVine this summer, Chris Dunn in a couple summers, Laurie Markkanen in several summers, and you still need another impact player. At 22, you can get a rotation player that's going to be making a rookie-scale contract for 5 years, and that's important, and that's on them to hit on that pick. You got to get a rotation player there. So, look, first-round picks are huge currency in this day and age because you got to pay stars and you got to get more than one star to win a championship, and you need that cheap rotation filler around that to make this all work.
Would you combine those picks, and I don't know if it would be enough, but for a guy like Kawhi Leonard?
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have those conversations. Look, everyone just assumes Kawhi and the Spurs are done. I'm not as sold as anybody else. They still have the right to pay him the supermax, and no other team can pay him. You know, nobody knows Greg Popovich's status or situation because obviously his unfortunate and tragic personal situation with the loss of his wife. But you know, he's on record. I know he's taken what a view to be some shots at Kawhi, but he's also got a very strong relationship with Kawhi. So I'm not as sold that Kawhi is for sure out of there as some people. That said, you absolutely have to explore that situation if the Spurs make him available. Here's the thing, though. If those conversations start, Lauri Markkanen will be asked for and probably not backed off for from the Spurs, guaranteed. So it's not going to be 7-22 that's going to be getting Kawhi Leonard to Chicago. It's going to be 7-22.
And Zach
Levine. One of those, and a prominent player. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's, you know,
great player,
all NBA player,
two-time.
I thought you were going with you take 7-22 and try to move up.
Yeah,
that was obviously asked and answered last night.
Yes.
You know, I thought John pretty much put his cards on the table.
Yeah.
He said that's very hard to do. And we're not even sure we want to do that. And look, this is what I go back to. They are looking at 22 as an opportunity to add a rotation player who's going to be on a rookie scale contract for 5 years. So I do think it'd be very, very difficult to do that in this draft, given how much those top 3-4 picks are going to be valued. And I know for a fact the Bulls are looking at this as an opportunity to add two young, talented players at 7-22.
How many players do you think are in the tier of players he talked about? And Pac's talking, saying 4-10, you know, how much difference really is there in this draft? It really is top three players and then a fall off to number four. And as you said, why would you package 22 to move up to four if you don't believe four is any different than 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, I think it's probably about 5 or 6 players that they tiered, you know, that were going to be there if they were at 6 or 7. And, you know, everyone forgets that everyone focused on 6, but 7 was the second highest probability, and it was pretty high. So they were planning to be 6 or 7, and I would guess there's probably 5 players that got tiered there. You know, just guessing here. But, and you know, John also said this last night, and this is obvious, but, you know, a lot of what they do determines on what's done before them. There are a lot of wild cards before them. The Mavericks and the Magic come to mind immediately. As you don't quite know what they're going to do because the players projected at those slots are play positions that the Mavericks and the Magic are pretty much settled at. So, you know, look, it's now all the mock drafts come, now the combines this week, now the individual meetings happen, the workouts, the getting the guys in the building, which John said for the 7th pick probably isn't going to happen until June. So, you know, there's a lot of roads still here to travel, but I sensed a lot of confidence last night. And, you know, this is a team that obviously hit with the 7th pick last year, and I sensed a lot of confidence coming from John and Gar last night.
You mentioned Lauri Markkanen. The Bulls have also employed a lot of 7th overall picks, not necessarily guys they took, although some are guys they took. Corey Brewer, Lou Aldang, and Kirk Heinrich. Richard Hamilton, the Phantom of the Opera himself, was a 7th overall pick. Luke Longley, the giant Australian. Q Daly, believe it or not. I think I missed Tim Thomas in there, who was here at some point for a year or two. They've had a lot of 7th round picks float in and out of town.
Well, two of those are obviously, and you know, Brian was covering this. Two of those are very obviously prominent and early in John Paxson's tenure. Kirk being the first pick, you know, the emergency pick when Jay Williams had the motorcycle accident, and they had the exploratory talks to try to get to Dwayne Wade, and ended up getting Kirk, and obviously a great player for the Bulls. And then Dang was a draft day trade actually with the Suns, but yeah, from the 7th slot, same day they got Ben Gordon. So yeah, that's, I mean, I'm telling you, I just sense, you know, we kept hammering them with the disappointment, Kings jumping to 2, you guys dropping 6 to 7, and I just sense resolute confidence from John.
Is there a sense of relief, Casey, in the idea that, you know, if they liked a guy like one of the Bridges, And they wanted to take him, and now they get to do it. You know what I mean? Like, if they had already mentally understood it wasn't going to be a top three pick, and they figured, you know, they know it's not going to be four or five, so maybe the second tier, you know, maybe they'd looked at it already. I don't know, but I'm with you. John seemed not bothered by it, which makes me think there's somebody that he likes that will be there, right?
I completely agree with that. And also, you guys know this, there's also a sense of relief now that, okay, it's over. Now we lock in. Now we're at seven. Now we start, you know, getting to the agents and, you know, all right, we want this guy in. When can we get him into our building, you know, beyond the combine this week? And so now there's certainty. And now you started making the calls to the other teams. All right, we got 7 and 22. You know, what does that do? Or we got 7 and this. You start moving forward with your process. And, you know, all teams like to get to that process. All teams have it in place. And, you know, again, I just see the Bulls looking at this as the next step in the rebuild. Obviously, the big one was taking a deep breath and trading Jimmy Butler. They like what they've got from that return and done Markkanen and Levine. And I feel like this closes the book on that because they felt like they're going to be adding a high pick. And I just sense like, all right, this is what we got next. 7 and 22. Let's get it. Let's go nail these picks.
All right, KC. Thank you, buddy. Great talking to you. You know, no matter what they do, they're not going to be able to put together a team like Golden State. That's the sad reality of life.
Not in my lifetime.
That is this series is the greatest. This is the greatest basketball series I've ever seen. It's Ali Frazier. It's
there we go.
Contrast the styles. It's, I mean, I watched that game.
Wait till tonight's game.
In awe.
Yeah.
Houston doesn't seem to have any kind of move they can make. Seems like it's over.
And it seemed like Mike D'Antoni's already on the defensive.
Championships don't define teams.
Yeah. And in Boston, I mean, the nice story, fun, but I don't think.
Real quick, I'll just say this. Like, that Boston team, that's going to be a problem. That's, you know,
in the future.
That's what I'm talking about. That's your model now for what you've got to be building here in Chicago.
Wait till Hayward comes back.
Well, Kyrie Irving, too. Yeah,
he's
pretty good. I mean, so once LeBron goes away, at some point he will, either retirement or West or what have you. That Boston team's going to be a problem for a long time. And that, John kept talking about the versatility of the wing. Yeah. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, hello.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be contending with for a while.
And does Fred have a Gordon Hayward in his back pocket he can sign in free agency?
I just wondered. All right.
Thanks, KC. Appreciate it.
Thanks, KC.
Good talking to you.
Don't forget, that's you know, one of the good things coming up in the future. Also a good thing in the future, David Haw. He'll join us next. Mully and Hanley on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.